Welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show. I'm David Gardner, broadcasting from Fool Global Headquarters here in Alexandria, Virginia. Here each week to talk about the motley world of money and investing. It is our special annual pre-Valentine's show. Dr. Ruth will pay us a house call to talk romance and finance. We'll talk to NPR's very own Diane Rehm, and we'll play a special Valentine's game. But we kick things off by talking about a company that has made big bucks off wedding planning. More than a million couples will turn to TheKnot.com this year to help plan their weddings, weddings that have an average price tag of $22,000. This week, The Knot announced a sharp increase in fourth quarter earnings, and there's been a sharp increase in the stock as well. Shares of TheKnot.com have more than doubled over the last year. I should add that I recently recommended The Knot for one of our Motley Fool investment newsletters. The man presiding over The Knot is CEO David Liu. He joins us from New York City. David, welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thanks for having me, David.
David, let's start with the basics. How does The Knot make money?
Primarily, you can break up our revenue streams between advertising and then the commerce. But within advertising, we actually have national, that's broken up between online and our publishing, mm-hmm. and then local, which is also broken up between online and publishing. Within commerce, we have retail, wholesale, and we actually have some small registry business as well.
And David, what am I finding at The Knot? I mean, I admit it, I'm on the website right now, but if I'm listening, what do I see at TheKnot.com?
Well, the first thing you'll find that there is a clutter of information, and oftentimes what people don't realize is that the mindset of a newly engaged couple is one of the need for a tremendous amount of information across a tremendous range of topics. And so when you go to our main screen, you will see links to honeymoon destinations and honeymoon articles. You will see wedding dresses. You'll see links to local city guides where you can find photographers and caterers and florists, etiquette in terms of how you would word your invitations. So we really try to provide a comprehensive suite of information and tools to help couples plan their wedding.
And TheKnot.com launched in 1997, but didn't turn a profit like a lot of similar companies, in this case until the year 2003. Why did it take 7 years, and then why did you eventually manage to turn a profit?
It was twofold. First, the goal was to actually build a brand. We weren't wedding aficionados, and we certainly weren't experts on the internet either. Few people actually realize that we actually signed a three-book deal with Broadway Books before we even launched our web presence. Our goal is to create a brand that would resonate with the consumer and proliferate it in all forms of media. And that's probably what made it a little bit more difficult to reach profitability because we had so many things going. We were launching a magazine. We had the web presence. We had we have a syndicated a QA column that runs throughout 70 papers around the country. And so our goal was to build out all these product extensions. What it enabled us to do and leverage is the fact that since the inception of the business, we've never had to advertise our brand. And that's something, as you well remember, was certainly the thing that all the dot-coms were doing excessively. Today, we still continue not to buy any advertising to support ourselves. It's really primarily created through the awareness that all of our product extensions enable.
And can you give us a snapshot of the typical user of your site? It sounds as if it's mostly women and mostly women who are fiancés at that moment.
That is correct. 70 to 80% are women. They're mostly 27, 28-year-olds, although we do span from 24 to 35, almost 40. We do have a surprising number of men, actually. 20% of the unique visitor count comes in and are men. And actually, when we surveyed our consumers, 40% said that their first time on The Knot, they weren't even engaged yet. So I think a lot of people kind of know it's going to happen, and so come on and do some pre-need research.
How many people are coming back for their second or third marriage? Is that a meaningful count for you?
It is increasingly so. I've heard figures where 30 to 40% of people getting married today, at least one person's having a second or if not third wedding. And as bad it is for the social fabric of our society, it generates repeat customers for us, so we can't complain. Second wedding.
David, are you rooting for divorce? Is that what you're saying?
No, of course not. we just want people to have a really great party when they get married. But I think also, you know, the second wedding is a very different type of event, and a site like ours is able to really deal with a lot of the nuances which traditional media companies have really not been able to cover.
And David, maybe an obvious criticism that somebody could level at thenot.com is, hey, it's just about marriage. It's this one-off experience. I know you're trying to extend that to newlyweds with thenest.com. What is the state of that business today? And 5 to 10 years from now, does that end up being bigger than thenot.com?
Well, we're really excited about The Nest. It's been live almost a year now. And our goal really is to create a new brand for consumers who are now post-wedding date. As you mentioned, we do enroll over 1 million members to The Knot. Well, these women give us their name, their address, and most importantly, their wedding date. So we actually know the moment they become newlyweds. And as a newlywed, the behavior is very predictable. Many of them will be buying cars. Our members will spend over $100 billion on new home purchases in just the first couple of years. 65% will have a baby within three. So we believe if you look at the local advertising opportunity, the national advertising opportunity in these new markets, The Nest has the potential to actually eclipse the size of The Knot.
According to our numbers, 4.6 million people in the U.S. get married each year. TheKnot.com gets around 2.1 million visitors a month. With that in mind, how much of the wedding market has The Knot already tapped into?
Well, if you look at the numbers, there are 2.3 million marriage licenses issued each year, and that's been pretty steady the last 4 or 5 years. We actually estimate there's only 1.6 to 1.7 million couples who throw a traditional wedding,
okay,
really spending money on the event and the reception. The balance are elopements or city hall civil ceremonies. And out of that, we are enrolling over 1 million members each year. And so, you know, I've heard estimates as high as 50 to 60, maybe even 70% of the marketplace is coming through our site.
And I have to ask you the internet entrepreneur question, David Liu. You've been in and around thenot.com for 10 years. A lot of companies have come and gone in this space over the course of that time. You're still there, and in fact, your stock has just about tripled over the last year. Beyond the obvious answer of persistence, what do you think explains your success? What have you learned as an entrepreneur on the internet?
Well, I think if there's one key ingredient that my four partners had that enabled us to survive this long, I think is an acute fear of failure. So we were running scared for probably the first 6 years and basically did everything we could to ensure growth and success. And I think the DNA of our company remains truly entrepreneurial. We're not afraid to take risks. We are always looking for the better, more efficient, alternative path towards the common goal on the horizon. And I think that is one of the key ingredients that sets us apart from a lot of the traditional media companies, the fact that we are so nimble and are willing to take those chances.
I'm going to ask you about your best decision in a sec, but let me ask you first, looking back, do you remember some crazy decision, some completely wayward way that you spent money, or something that will make us laugh as you look back over the Knot.com's 10 years and still makes you laugh maybe?
Well, I could probably fill a whole hour show with those stories. But the one that comes to mind is probably in the early days, and I think this is, you know, because you have four partners who were ex-NYU filmmakers and had gone to film school. We were frustrated and wanted to create entertainment products as well. We thought our brides would be interested in being entertained on our site while they're planning their wedding. So we created a serial soap opera that we featured on a weekly basis, had it written and casted and put it together as an interactive soap opera. It took a tremendous amount of effort. The script is today just as funny as it was back then, but nobody came and actually watched the site, and certainly we couldn't find sponsors to support it either.
And now what do you think your best decision has been?
I think for us it was always staying the course in building our business despite the nonsense that was happening around us. I can remember when we had just gone public, the first thing we did with the proceeds we raised was acquire a 12-year-old delisted business out in Omaha, Nebraska that was publishing 50 local wedding magazines. I remember the day we announced that deal, our internet analysts just killed us. They said we were a pureplay.com, we had this great multiple, why would we go buy a 12-year-old publishing business? And if you look at the assets and what we were able to do with that business, it is the source of tremendous growth and profits for us.
Mm. And if Yahoo Finance's numbers are to be believed, you have three Wall Street analysts following your company today. I'm sure that there are other money managers that check in from time to time. But is that a significant part of your job as CEO today, managing Wall Street analysts and trying to court more of them?
Well, we don't provide guidance, so fortunately there's not a lot of the managing in the process that's involved. I would say that we were relisted last March, and the few years of being delisted was actually a nice quiet time period where we flew up and below the radar. Now that the Street has rediscovered us, there's certainly a lot more interest and more demand on my time to really tell the story. I think that's a high-class problem to have. Mm-hmm. We certainly love telling the story because we think it is truly unique. And if it allows investors to really get to know our business and take advantage of the opportunities that we provide, I think that's a good thing.
Mm. And David, you mentioned being delisted, sort of dropping off of Wall Street's radar for a while. What was that like, and how did it feel being relisted?
Well, I can tell you the day we were delisted was a dark day in the office. So much of what you worked towards was really creating a business that people recognized had value, and trading below a dollar and then finally having your company be delisted was a definite blow.
What day was that, by the way?
I think it was August 2001.
Okay.
What was amazing, though, we improved our business every quarter since our IPO. And internally, my staff, my senior management, we're still all together. We kept chugging away, and we knew that the Street would come back around and our business would be a success. When we finally got relisted, I think it was definitely a moment of affirmation. I think everyone felt a great sense of pride in that we were able to, go to the brink, bring the company back, and actually show them the true value of what we were creating. It was a great sense of validation.
David Liu is the CEO of TheKnot.com. David, thanks for joining us on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thanks for having me, David.
Tomorrow morning is my wedding day.
There'll be friends throwing rice. There'll be Applejack on ice. And everybody's dancing while the fiddles play. Come along to the hall. You're invited, one and all. Tomorrow.